so.
Many years ago, there was someone, I think one Bachur, two Bachur had in the room, they had some stuck on them. I think, I'm not sure if they collected, for something, and they had stuck money, and it was stolen from the room. And I'm pretty sure that, what I recall from the time, I'm going back more than a few years, but the Rav Scheinberg told them that it was passing that they're mochiv to pay for it. I assume the reason was because even if they're just a shomachinim, but stop leaving around in a dorm room without any particular, it's unlocked, anybody can come into the building. There were many that I remember very, very clearly when it was one Friday night, and I wasn't feeling well, I was lying down in the dorm room, and all of a sudden there's a light goes on, and they're like, oh, someone's walking around with a flashlight. And Friday night, so he didn't realize I was there at first, and then I picked up my head, because it wasn't late at night, it was early, I wasn't feeling well, and he saw me, and he said, "Good Shabbos," and he shut it off and left. There were a lot of neighbors from the dorm, so I think it's Rav Scheinberg must have said, look, a dorm room is notorious for neighbors, you can't just leave stuck of money around, you're not Yotzi, that's not Gneva, that's Pshia, that's Mamash Pshia. Okay, but anyway, but here, even if it was Mamash Ganeva, if it's not Kavua, it's Maisi, it's still expensive. Okay, good evening. So I'd like to, a few nakudas that I'd like to discuss tonight. Hopefully we'll get to all of them. I think I mentioned at the end of the shiur last week. Number one is it appropriate, or is it permissible for a person to pay for shul membership with Maisa money? Or to buy a seat, you know, if it's not a full membership, whatever, is to buy a seat for Rosh Yom Kippur or whatever it may be, is that something that you could deduct from your Maaser Cheshbon, even if you have in mind, could you do it, or is it not? So so there are really two camps here in the poskim. Now, what seems to me, the initial approach to be that it would not be okay, because even though the money's going to a shul, and we've said already that you could make a donation to a shul for Maaser money, we're not knowing to give it specifically to an Aniyim, etc. Well, certainly with a Tanai, and it seems to be the Minhag Olam even without a Tanai. So if you want to give a donation to a shul, yeah, of course you can. But here you're not giving a donation to a shul. They're assuming that their membership for sure is something that has a price tag, and even in many shuls, most shuls, so does a seat, at least for Yom Naram. The average shul will not, you know, you will not give you a seat without you paying. So if that is the situation, if you are buying a seat in such a shul where you need to pay for it, or you're buying membership, so then that's the chur, what you're doing. You're buying something and you get various schus. And for membership, usually it comes along with a seat. It comes along with the various other things, like the privilege to attend certain shul functions, either for free or at a discounted cost. Or there are certain other things that a person gets as a member of shul. You know, the various perks and handouts or whatever it is that... I don't know if that's the right word, but that people get by joining, by being a member of the shul. Besides, schusim to the amud, is also for if a person has a chiyuv of the amud, schusim to the amud. Many shuls are determined by a member, and in fact, some shuls have different levels of membership. You pay this level of membership, you have these schusim, pay that level, so you get a seat, but you don't get a schus to the amud, or you get a schus. So there are all sorts of things. I mean, so it's kind of business. It's something the shul is doing. Now, of course, the shul is doing it to raise money for the shul, but at the end of the day, they're something. I mean, if the shul would, let's say the shul would buy a bowling alley or a miniature golf course or something like that, and they, as a fundraiser for the shul, that's all they're doing. But all the proceeds go to the shul. You go and to play miniature golf. It costs you, I have no clue what it costs nowadays, but it costs you whatever it costs you, and the proceeds go to the shul. So I don't think anyone would say that you could. Oh, it's meiser because the money's going to the shul. Yeah, money goes to the shul, but you're buying. It's just like you could have gone to any minshul golf course and paid for admission, paid to use it, and had a nice time. And so you did. It happens to be here. The money's going to the shul. It's very nice, But it's, I think, that wouldn't be meiser. Now, unless, of course, the idea we've spoken about in the past, let's say there are two places to go and they're like similar quality, and normally the normal price is X, but the shul runs and they charge X plus because it's a fundraiser shul, so then you taka go to that one in order, you want to support the shul, so you go to the more expensive one, which is run by the shul, so then the difference you could take from meiser, that we've seen. If you buy a service, or you buy an item, which you want, not something you don't want, and I'm just doing it, I'm just buying the sefer from the ani to give him parnasa. No, that's the sefer that I want, and I see, but I could get it at the bookstore for this price, and this particular person sells it for $5 more. So I buy it from him in order to give him the parnasa, and then the $5 extra, the $5 difference I can take from meiser, but not the entire amount. So here too, l'chora, that would be by the minshul da'af, of course. So, without comparing davening and shul to playing in shul, but the cards is here. So here, instead of selling the rights to, you know, to golf with the bowl, they're selling the seats and selling the privilege to the Amid, etc. And Lamaisa, so this is what it says in the Sefer Emes Liako from Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal in Simon Reish Mem Tes and Mipia Shmua, number 134. He says that you cannot pay for this with my money. He says it's Havi Kemek Lachememkar. He's talking about membership. He says, like, you're purchasing a seat and other services. I saw a number of other gedolim recorded this way as well. Only they make chalukim that, it's what we touched on, that if you could get the seat for free, if they say, look, at the end of the day, if you can't pay, whatever, or if you can't pay, you can come anyway. You choose to pay, then that's a different story. I don't have to pay. It's not mandatory. It's not compulsory. You could daven here without paying for a seat. Like the rest of the year. Most shuls, I think, the rest of the, you know, if you don't come from Yom Narum, at least most shuls I'm familiar with, you don't have to pay to come in on a Shabbos or on a regular Yontif. And then, you know, they're not going to kick you out, or they'll not just they won't kick you out. You're allowed to come in and use a seat. And occupy a seat without paying. So if you decide, you know, to buy a seat, like at some, you know, you can get a dedicated seat. So there, you buy a dedicated seat in order to help out the shul. So that's a different story. Could be meiser money. Or I saw a brother from Rabbi Yashiv that if you have a choice to daven even in another place, in other words, this particular shul, you can't come in without paying, without buying a seat. And it happens to be you davka want to daven in the shul. You prefer the daven. The davening shul is a higher quality, but he writes because the davening is better. But I could daven in the next shul. I could daven in the next shul for free. So then he says you could take it from Maisa. But the way it's brought down, I think this is in the Sefer, he was in the Sefer Baruch Tzedaka. The way he brings it down is I prefer this shul because the davening is better. Meaning, so maybe, I don't know, and you cannot make diyukim from a quote, you know, maybe quoting someone. But it could be the idea is that if I want to daven in the shul because it's much more comfortable, the seats are more comfortable, and maybe the air conditioning is much more, is much more to my liking, and whatever else, other things about the shul are, the gashmias of the shul is more gishmak, and that's why I choose it over the next shul, which is free, then perhaps not. Then perhaps you would have to at least, you know, some of would at least some of it shouldn't come from meiser. I'm choosing the shul because the davening is a I daven better in the shul. It's a nicer davening, slower davening, v'chul, and I daven better. I'm choosing, but I could daven in the next shul where I don't daven quite as well, but I could daven there. Not in Avaryon if I go to that shul, and that shul is for free. So then you could take this from meiser.
How would that be a difference, man?
Because then
for every ruchnias thing you can't.
Well, so we said that for many things you can actually. I mean, you can't buy. We discussed last week. You can't buy an esrog for meiser money. But certain things for enhancing ruchnis, you could. And I think maybe especially here where it's just like I said, it's just an enhancement. I mean, the etzim zach I get for free, but I'm choosing. The shul's not charging, presumably because they have a better davening. They're choosing. They're charging because, you know, they need the funds. Whatever the other shul. Whatever, where we functions differently. Maybe the other places is a kol. Now, probably in the kol would be the better davening, but whatever it is, let's say, you know, for argument's sake, you don't daven as well in the kol, but the kol doesn't charge because the kol doesn't charge. They rely on the people anyway, give donations throughout the year, etc., but they don't charge. So I'm choosing this place because l'maisa I daven better in this place. So, but it's something I'm investing money just. Which is something I really don't have to do. It's not like an essay that I have to buy. I don't have to do this at all. So I think we said this even in tuition. There, many poskim say that I can't pay for my son's tuition from Meiser, but if I want to send him to a better yeshiva, where I don't have to, I can send him to that yeshiva. It's a fine yeshiva. I want to send him to a better yeshiva, but they charge more. Then many poskim say you could take that difference from Meiser. We spoke about this in the past weeks. So I think that's what Rabbi Yashiv would be saying here. Al Kapanim, though, according to Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yashiv, at least in the case where you have no choice, everybody charges, then you would not be able to take this from Meiser. And the Sefer Stako Mishra from Rabbi also says this, that if you must pay, that you don't have a choice to daven here for free, then it's not considered Meiser. Meid Chisa, Adisi brought down, I looked up the tshuva, is the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak and the Chel Ches Simen Pei Gimel, and there's a tshuva as well from the Tzitz Eliezer, Chel Chaf Simen Lamed Hey. They both paskin that you could. The Minchas Yitzchak says if it's difficult for you, he says if it's difficult to pay on your own, that's the way he phrases it, then you could buy a seat. He's talking about a seat, don't talk about membership per se, but you could buy a seat for yourself and for your wife from Meiser money. And he doesn't go into it all, like this Nidan. It's not a very long tshuva, to be honest, but it's not a two-liner. But he doesn't go into it all to explain why it's not simply Mekach Umemkar, why it's not like you're buying something from them. I also saw just before we maybe make a suggestion, I saw in the Sefer Shari Tzedek, he brings, besides bringing these two tshuvas, could be that's where I saw these tshuvas originally, but he also brings that, he says, it's known that in the that Diane Fisher is also passing this way with regards to the Zichron Moshe Shul in Yerushalayim, that the Mespalim could pay for seats with Maisa money. Says so. Even though the Machaber that Sefer himself holds differently, but that's what he brings all these Mekilim. So I think maybe the Pshat is. I spoke to a Rav. I spoke to Rav Zev Kohn. Zev Kohn is the Rav in Chicago and one of the largest shuls, if not the largest shul in Chicago, and I had noticed that in his in the membership paraphernalia, when they send out an appeal, let's just call it for membership Yom Narum time, it says mefurish that whatever you pay for membership could be taken from Meiser. I noticed that some time ago, so I called him the other night to ask him to be honest. I see it's a machlokas. I thought maybe he could add something to my understanding. See, he just signed it. He said, at the end of the day, all it is a way of raising money for the shul. We're not in business. I mean, I don't know if those are his words or not, but that's saying we're not a business. We're not in business. We're just trying to function, and we're just trying to survive and to have what we need to provide for our mispalim, the proper atmosphere and the proper services that you need in a shul, and it costs money, and we have to, he didn't say this, but the rabbi has to get paid, many other people have to get paid, and have the janitors get paid, and so the shul has to raise money, so. So just the way it's just raising money. So it's not a business. He felt he knows it's a machlokas, but he sees it. He thinks it's it's a pasha this way. And so I was thinking maybe the pshat is the difference between this and the shul only a mitzvah golf, of course. Maybe the pshat is the shul here. Even if they had enough money, let's say they didn't have to. Right. Shmaim, they had enough money, so they would still function and still provide the shul, and they wouldn't charge, but they wouldn't keep the golf course open. The golf course is only there to provide. That's mamish a business, and if they don't need money anymore, so they're going to close down the golf and say, well, okay, Baruch Hashem, we have a golf. Now we'll give people free. I don't know, Mustaba. We'll give people free, free night out, and that's totally there, just functioning just as a business. In the Hanami, the point of the business is to support the shul, but it is a business, and you're buying this hanah, whatever it is, this enjoyment. Whereas the shul, it's tuffel, it's mamish tuffel. The fact that they're charging you, they're going to function, they're going to provide you the service whether they have to charge you or not. They prefer not to have to charge you. They're in business, they're open to give you a place to daven, to give you all the things that you need to make it a proper davening / learning experience. Agav, they have to charge because otherwise they're not going to be able to function properly. So maybe that's why we look at it. That's called a donation to the shul. I'm just donating so that I could. The shul would love to do this for free, whereas the golf course, it's not. They're not here. They're not here to. They're just providing a service to people. They want to pay for it so that they can make money. But I don't know if that's so bar, but maybe something like that. Maybe that would be the chalak. Al kavanim is a clear machlok is here.
Is it possible to just tie it differently? That it's like compulsive. They're charging this in order to mechayev you to give tzedakah. But he was even there defining it. They're deharing it as tzedakah, as they're to give to the shul. They're just, this is their way of forcing every person in the community to give money to the shul. It's just like when the Gemara Bava Basra says that we force the Gabi Tzedakah can force, that's, of course that's Tzedakah they were forcing. This is their way of forcing.
Well, but they're only forcing. They can say, you know what, Rabbi, give me a senior shul, I'm going to give money to that shul. That's not going to work. I mean, they're not just trying to...
No, but they're shul.
They're not just trying to get you to do a mitzvah of giving Tzedakah.
No, but it's their way, just like this town wouldn't say... They wouldn't force you to give tzedakah to a different town. They would force you to give tzedakah to the ear of their town. Right. I mean, you're allowed to force to give money to. So that this is the community's way of forcing the kehila to give the tzedakah to the place.
I hear what you're saying, but again, but there, there's the gabai lechud and the ani lechud. Here, the gabai is the ani. I mean, the shul is forcing for themselves.
The shul is the community. It's not the shul. It's the
okay.
No,
I hear what I hear. Maybe. Okay. It's Machlokas Poskim, and as I said, I quoted the names, so you have this. There are big names to rely on either side of this shaila. Okay, I will reiterate just that the Minchas Yisroel did say he's talking about it for a person that finds it difficult. He wasn't talking. He didn't say flippantly. Okay, the next shaila is what about?
What about if it's known that the shul is very wealthy? Some shuls in America have money for many years. My family, I know that a specific shul, they have money that they don't know what to do with it. They're keeping it for the cemeteries. If you know, the boys can agree, you know the shul as well, they don't need any money. They're going to agree that you cannot use it, cannot use the membership as a...
Well, they don't need it, but what are they doing with it? They're not throwing
sitting
it out.
And it's making more money. The known thing, so there's a few shuls in America that are known that they're very...
Okay, but... eventually, yeah, I mean, I imagine eventually that money is going to go to... whatever some stuck a cause or shul cause it's stuck a
cause. It down, but it goes to the basic course usually. We keep the basic course.
So you want to know what the I don't know. Even so, lemaisa they be mechayiv you. So those who hold them when the shul is be mechayiv you in order to get the service of shul, they be mechayiv you. So what they do with the money that's not lemaisa be with the shul.
It's a wealthy.
I don't know. It's not an ani. I mean, if you know a person is not an ani and he's collecting money as an ani, so then in chama you can't say, I'll give him my money. Well, he makes himself
like
out as an ani.
Maybe it's like a susur kavalah, and there in that standard, that's how it's supposed to be. Somebody's collecting money, he needs more than a regular one.
Well, let's say it's not the case. Let's say it's not the case. The person has more than enough money, he's just mamish hoarding the money. He's hoarding it. Unfortunately, he's hoarding the money or whatever he's doing, or he's giving it to. Whatever he's doing with it, he's using it. So you can't there in chadami. You can't just give your ma'aser and say, I don't know. He calls himself ani. But a shul, they don't have to make out as an ani. It's not because they're an ani. They're a shul. So I'm giving them out of the shul. They don't need. I don't think that's my cheshvan. I don't think it's my cheshvan what they're doing with the money. I don't think I have to. I would think that probably the mekilim would still say it.
Rabbi would say it's better to be machmer.
It's always better to give more tzedakah if you can. So if you could afford to, certainly if you could afford to pay this, not so sure. Why? Well, if you want to do the mitzvah b'shleimus, so it makes sense. And as I said, even the minchas yitzchak was meikel is saying, for a person that finds it hard. Okay, the next question is what about a very common question, auction or shuls having or lottery, selling lottery tickets for a $10,000, $100,000 prize or a car or whatever trip there. So whatever it is that they're auctioning off, or Chinese auction, Maisim Shebechol Yom, Shaila Shebechol Yom, could you buy tickets to these things with your Maisim money, or does that have to come out of your own pocket? So let's just think about it for a second. So what are you doing here? Okay, the money is going to Tzedakah, true, but again, are you buying something from the shul. I mean, you're buying something. If the shul would be selling something, let's say, and some shuls do, they sell Hanukkah candles, or I don't mean the ones that send it on the mail, or they sell certain times a year, whatever the things might be that they sell, the Shalach Manos packages or something. They sell that you could buy and give to other people. So if I'm buying it from the shul, and again, assuming I'm not paying more money than I would elsewhere, I'm paying the going rate. So of course I would have to pay for it. So am I buying something from the shul? So Rav Moshe is mamash mechalik this. Rav Moshe, I think it's a well-known shuvan, fourth chelik of Aradeya, Simon Ayin Vav. Rav Moshe is mechalik between a lottery that has a defined and set number of tickets. They're only selling X number of tickets and not more, as opposed to one where they'll sell as many tickets as they buy, as people are willing to buy. And Rav Moshe says that if they're selling only a defined number of tickets, they're raffling off $25,000, they're selling 400 tickets, not more, and that's, you know, part of the incentive to buy, because you know it's not like unlimited. So Rav Moshe says then every ticket has a value. Every ticket has a very calculable value, a value that you can calculate and give a value to. And Mimela, you are you're buying a chevtza from them, and he says therefore you can't take you can't with Maisa money. He says not mechalik between, you know, how much of it, like the amount towards the value. And he says that you're not allowed to buy with Maisa money, but if it's an open-ended raffle, they'll sell, like I said, as many tickets as they could possibly sell. They will. Then he says then that's considered that the tickets really have no shavis, because there's they can sell 1,000 tickets or 10,000 tickets theoretically. So the ticket's not considered to have any shavis. And he says that you're allowed to use Mos Meiser to buy a ticket to such a raffle. And meaning, but I think really the next step is the Iker. And if you win, the prize is yours. Because Rav Moshe says a Gabbai Tzedakah is allowed to offer incentives to somebody to give Tzedakah. Or a Mosad is allowed to offer incentives to people to give Tzedakah, because Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, it's marbe the Nesinas Meiser, by offering incentives or by having a raffle, the more money will be given to Tzedakah, more Meiser, this way, more Meiser will be given than otherwise. And Mimela, that's why they're allowed to do this, even though they have to spend money to acquire these prices, unless they have a donor that's covering the underwriting the whole expense list. They have to there are costs to them, but they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to spend money to incentivize people to give money to Tzedakah. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, if you win, the prize is yours. It doesn't belong to Meiser. However, he says, if you win, it is proper, he says, you're not mechuyev min hadin, but it's proper at then to credit back Meiser for what you paid for the ticket. You paid $25 for a ticket, and you won $25,000, so he says it's min haroi, not mechuyev, but min haroi, to credit back the Meiser, $25 to Meiser, because I spent $25 of Meiser money to win, and I walked away with $25,000, or whatever I walked away with, irrelevant. So you should credit back Meiser. And he writes also, it's proper that when you have to Meiser what you want, especially if it's cash, he doesn't get into cash and not cash. That was like one of our very first year, right? Whether you have to take Meiser stuff only from cash or even from chafetzim. He doesn't get into that, but he just says you have to Meiser what you win. So, and it's roi to give that Meiser to the Mosa that you want it from. That's what he says. It's proper. Again, it doesn't have to, but it's proper to give. I should be clear, of course, we're talking about a raffle from a yeshiva or a kollel or a tzedakah organization. We're not talking about a private enterprise. We're talking about, I think that was pushed with everybody, just to be clear. It's that type of raffle. So it's proper to give the meiser back to that mosa. That's what Moshe writes in the tshuva. But these are just, like I said, suggestions, but the prize is yours. So now, you want to say? Okay, so you mean what's the roi?
10 tickets and one into one prize.
Right. So okay. I mean, what's roi to do? You're asking. You don't have to do anything. Yeah. So I was thinking that
just one ticket maybe, because it only took one to win.
Okay, you could say that, but al pi terech hateva, if you buy 10 tickets, pi terech hateva, your chances of winning are 10 times greater, right? Or if the Chinese auction, same thing, Chinese auction, right? So obviously the money that you put towards other prizes that you didn't win, that we wouldn't say at all, you have to credit back Meiser. But if I put 4 or 5 tickets into the Megillah, because I wanted to win the Megillah, or into the whatever the prize is, and I put in numerous tickets, so I increased, I'll be derech hateva, I increased, I kept multiplying my chance of winning, and I did win, So Rashi doesn't say, but I was thinking different. I was thinking that part of it, which is Shiloh was Roy. But I think it's Roy probably to credit back Meister for whatever you put towards that prize. Or if it's just one prize, you won the $25,000 grand prize and you bought 10 tickets, it's probably Kedai to give back to Meister.
Roll into next year's raffle.
Okay, you'll spend that Meister next year.
Right.
Okay, if you want to keep it. Okay, now what happens, I was thinking, according to Rav Moshe, what would be, let's say a person didn't realize the din, and there was a raffle that had set him out the tickets. He wasn't aware of the schilik. He heard, Rav Moshe, you could buy a raffle ticket with Meister Meister. He bought a raffle ticket. It happens to me, this raffle had set amount of things. And so Rav Moshe held, really, he couldn't, but he didn't realize that. Or whatever it is, or he didn't realize that there was a set amount of tickets. And he bought it with Meister money, and he won. So now who won? Did he win or did Meister win? Because he used Meister money. He shouldn't have, but he used Meister money. So who won the prize? Who won the prize? Did you win the prize, or did Meister win the prize? So I think
it's only shaykh if you kovei Meister money, not if it, like I'm saying, it comes back.
He gave it to him. He went to his book. He bought a $25 ticket, went to his book, and has minus 25. He wrote down. Mm-hmm. I just in his gave column. He wrote given. Even if he hadn't separated bins,
he wouldn't be allowed to do that. So therefore, like it was kilo me'ila. I mean, he's not allowed to do that.
Okay, so he didn't
invest for Meister. But it's hard to say he invested for Meister if he wasn't allowed
Right. So I think you're 100% right. I mean, the din is, I think if Reuven steals money from Shimon and he invests it, so he has to give, and he makes money, so he has to give Shimon back the carrion that he stole. But he doesn't have to give Shimon back what he won with the money, what he earned. I mean, what his investment earned. He stole the money. He did a big avla, and he's like, "Anu v'chulu v'chulu," and he has to give back the carrion. But he doesn't have to give over the prize. Give over the. Say again. But invest. Let's say by cash. Cash. You invest cash in something, and the stock market, or whatever, and you make money. You just have to give back what you earned. So I think it's Pasha here too. He just has to give. He has to recredit Meister here. Not just that's the right thing to do. He must do it because it was when he finds out he made a toast. So he has to recredit Meister for what he took. But the prize still is his prize because he wasn't investing for Meister. So this is Rav Moshe, and plus this list of stuff based what I'm suggesting based on Rav Moshe. Now in the one of the Svarim I saw brings down that. Thinking the Sefer Hilchas Meiser Ksafim, right? He brings down from the Shalos and Shuvas Evan Yisrael, that's Rabbi Dain Fisher, Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, Chelaches Simen Samach Dalet, that he's masig on this Igros Moshe, and he says he doesn't understand what the way I saw it, I didn't see this Shuv inside, but he says, what does it mean that there's more Meiser, not more Meiser, it just means people are giving their Meiser to this Moshe instead of giving it, this Meiser has a raffle, or this Kol has a raffle, so they'll give their Meiser money to this Kol. More of it and less of it to another call, or less of it to another thing. It's not going to cause a rebuy in Meister. That's what he says. And he says also, he says this is a question of it's also last schar parasha shechaver, right? Hechen, like the Meister Hechen says, schar parasha shechaver. Using your friend's cow to go make money, you're not allowed to do that. I can't use your cow and make money. So you're taking money from Meister and earning money on it. So I think maybe Pashat Shadow Rav Moshe, when not first of all, not everybody gives Meiser, and or not everybody gives like a full amount of Meiser. If there's an incentive to give, then a person may very well give. Someone who wouldn't give, even if this guy himself, who we're discussing, he's asking the Shadow, he's sitting here, wants to know, can he take it from Meiser? He gives Meiser, but many people don't. So the Gabbai is allowed to offer prizes to everyone, even to the person who would have given Meiser anyway. He's offering a prize to anyone who gives $25, you get a chance of winning the $25,000. And by doing that, some of them will be a rebuy. There will be people, not everyone's, people who would otherwise not give will give now because they want to, it's okay, it's a nice thing to give and it's an incentive, there's a chance of winning. So I'm not sure here they said the shtar, I didn't see it inside, but I just saw the quote, but I don't think it's such a shtar and kasha, why there wouldn't be a Reba Meiser. And in terms of Heichan, Zeosischar, Parash Shechavero, I don't think it's called Parash Shechavero. I meant to say better, I don't think it's called Schar. It's not called Osischar. I'm not doing Schar. I'm giving my Nadava to this Moshe, and if they're offering a perk that somebody, not everybody, one of the 300 people that they give, or whatever the number is they give, is going to walk away with the prize, and they're allowed to offer that. So if I walk with the prize, I walk with the prize. But that's not, I think Rav Moshe said, it's not called schar. I'm not doing schar. I'm just getting the tova. I got a tova sana from my ma'aseh. Okay. Al kapanim, there are other gedolim, though, also say that you can't do this. Rav Shlomo Zalman, this quote is brought down in that sefer, and I think maybe I saw it in more than one place, that... he says you can't do that. That if you use Meiser Ksafim to buy a raffle ticket, well, he doesn't distinguish what kind, and you win, the prize belongs to Meiser. The money belongs to Tzedak. You have to give out that money just like you would have to give out any other Meiser money. Or if it's an object, it belongs to Tzedak. You have to sell it and give it out or whatever it is, or redeem. Sorry.
The whole thing. All
of it. What not? What do you mean? Why not? What are you thinking?
The whole prize, or just like.
Well, why not? What would, if not the whole thing, how much yes, how much not? What do you, sorry?
A tenth.
No. Tenth? No, that's partially you have to give a tenth, even according to Rav Moshe. If you win $25,000, you just gain 20, you have to give the tenth. But they're saying the whole thing belongs to Meiser. It's like you did. You invested on behalf of Meiser, which you're allowed to do, by the way, right? You could invest in safe investments, not getting into that right now, but in safe investment, you could invest stuck of money in a safe, guaranteed way, and then the profits belong to Meiser. Not like the case I said before where I did it for myself. I stole money from Reuven, and I invested it, not for Reuven, for me. So I owe Reuven back to Karen, but whatever I earned, that's mine. But here, you're investing it. It's Rishon Mazama says, all you're allowed to do is invest it on behalf of Meiser, and the prize belongs to Meiser. Now, I did see, though, this is what I thought maybe you were touching on, they bring from Rabbi Yashim and others that you do get a broker's fee. So you could get, I think they usually show Darvimu, and they say that's 20, they bring from Rabbi Yashim, 20% if it's not a schum atzum, if it's not like a schum gadol mode. That's undefined. What's called schum gadol is not called schum gadol. But if the prize is in a reasonable amount, again, I have no idea what numbers he's talking about. But then you could keep, in any case, you can keep something. But he says if it's not a huge amount, you can keep 20% as a broker's fee or whatever you want, or investor's fee, whatever. I made this wise investment of giving the money to that place instead of giving someone else. And Stucker walked with $25,000. I took $25 of Meiser money, and now Meiser is $25,000. That's pretty good. So I get to keep. Going to this, I get to keep 20% of it, or if it's a very large amount, whatever fee. That's what they bring from there. So now, what about if a person will say, "Well, you know what? I hear Shlomo Zalman and others. There are others as well. Rabbi Yashiv coined to this saying, I really can't use Meiser money for a raffle, and to keep the whole prize. But I'll tell like this. I'll tell Meiser. I say, Mr. Meiser. Let's, I'm going to give some money to buy a raffle ticket. If I win, it was my money. If I lose, it was your money. Meaning, I'll count it for my, it's like El Tznai, where I saw one person say, maybe I'll give a post-dated check. A post-dated check, so I didn't lay out the money yet. And if I don't win the raffle, then I'll take my, okay, let it be my side. I didn't win anyway. I didn't walk away with anything. It's just a donation. But if I lose, then if I lose, then it'll be Meiser money. If I win, then Meiser, no, I'm not taking from Meiser, then it's my money. Can I do that? So I saw a few different things. I saw one place where Shlomo Zalman Go'ar Bazel, like he screamed at people, who do things like that. That's one reaction. But I saw also, in the Derech Amunah from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this is in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, that's page of Matnas Aniyim, page Kuf Chav Gimel. He says you can't do that. When someone just chazes over exactly what he says, So he says because you lemaisa, even if you, he doesn't talk about putting. He just says to use Meiser money and then say, oh, but if I win, I won't take credit for Meiser. I won't take credit. Like what Rav Moshe says as a suggestion, he's asking, well, maybe I could do that right away. In other words, assuming that, not like Rav Moshe, assuming you're not allowed to use Meiser money, but maybe I could use it and say, but it's only Meiser money if I lose and if I win. So he says, no, because even the chance of winning has a value to it. And again, he's not mechalik between a set amount and not a set amount, but there is a value to that. So you bought that suffix. You bought the chance. It's still, the chance has a value. So another sefer called Meiser Tzedakah says, okay, so deduct that. just deduct from Meiser. Don't take credit for whatever the chance is. The chance of winning $25,000 in a raffle is not worth anywhere near $25,000, right? I mean, I don't know if we have actuaries here or whatever, but the value of a raffle ticket is very small, because especially an open-ended raffle is very small, because the chance of winning are pretty slim. It's not a very wise way at all of investing your money. That's how the Sefer says. So just deduct that. But Chaim seems to say once you're gaining, so then you can't do that. So no, I didn't see anybody who really says you could, other than the Sefer Maaseh Tzedakah, who says if you separate. Otherwise, as I say, separate from Shlomo Zalman or Chaim, and could be from others, said you can't do things like that. You have to you pay out of your pocket, or if you invest Meiser money that way, then the prize is going to go to Meiser regardless. You can't be masna. You can't be masna. So. Okay, so just to sum up, so Moshe holds it's totally on if there's a set amount of tickets, then you're not allowed to use Meiser money. If there's not a set amount of tickets, you are allowed to use Meiser money, and you can keep the prize. Just that is proper to give back what you. At that point, to get back what you paid for the ticket, from you recredit Meiser and also give the Meiser of the prize to that place, and the other poskim seem to say you should not take the other poskim that I saw say that you bechal shouldn't buy from raffle tickets from Meiser money.
Is it like a little bit fair to say that the minhag is a little bit that people do take Meiser, or that's a minhag being?
I didn't poll people, but I sort of suspect they do, right?
Okay. But that's not, you can't take it, meaning. That's not, you can't take a rye that's kilo pokhazi matin, because it's not really from Tamina Chacham doing
right,
that.
It's not necessarily.
It's
necessarily
like we're not noki like that unless it's certain people do it.
Most raffles, I think, fit into, don't have a Chinese auction, right? There's no cutoff point, right?
So we're saying
the fee remesh, so the fee remesh.
We're relying on remesh.
I think so. I think that's, at least in America, I don't have to do so. Okay, and the third main topic I want to discuss tonight is what about another commonly asked shalit. The kol has a dinner, or yeshiva has a dinner, or whoever, bonei olam is a dinner, and they're charging X per plate. Can I attend that dinner and pay what they're asking, and can I take that for Meiser money? If they're charging me more than I pay for an average supper at home, okay, it's a nicer meal as well, but I wouldn't choose if it wasn't a kolel, or if there wasn't, and I wasn't being pressured, perhaps, or whatever other reasons people choose to attend the dinner. If I didn't want to be machzik the most, I wouldn't be spending this money on it. So can I take that from Meiser money or not? This question is probably, I'm sure the Rosh Hakol gets this question from numerous people every single year. So, you asked me this?
Yeah.
So now I'll tell you from the sources. So in the Sefer, the two sources I saw, the Emes LeYaakov and the Igros Moshe. Moshe Rabbi Yaakov. So Emes LeYaakov says that you could take it, just that the way he puts it, or the way it's said in his name, you should deduct from Meiser the amount that you would pay for this meal. You got the chash of a meal. So how much would you pay for that? You wouldn't necessarily, they're charging you $300 for this chash of a meal. Now, you'd pay more than what you pay for your own separate home. You pay $10 for supper. Oh, yeah, so I'd be willing to pay more than $10 for supper, but $300? No.
And also, the babysitter being outside of the house for 2 hours?
How
much you would pay to go out for one night?
And the guests.
Also, you have to pay for
the guests.
Maybe it's another $40. That could be more than that.
More than than you pay for the dinner. But I'm hiring this babysitter only to be machzik the moset. So I'm spending money. No, I don't think you can do that, because certainly not all the money, because you could just give the call of the money and don't spend $40 on a babysitter. I might say no, but they want you at the dinner. They don't just want your $300. That's part of it, but they also want you at the dinner, because machzik. So is it worth it for them? Like, would it be worth it for them to spend $40 for your babysitting? So that we can say that that's considered spending money, because that $40 is not going to the kol, right? The $300 is going to the kol. The $40 is going.
I know you had about the dinner, $10 dinner at home. Also, I know you have going out.
But maybe I'm saying, but maybe not just that. You're assuming that Batsim, you could take the $40 off of Meiser, just minus what you would pay for a night out. I don't know. I don't know if you can take any, because that's going to the baby. It's going to your neighbor's teenage daughter. It's not going to a moset. And Elamai, I have to spend this in order what? In order to be mechazik the kol, I don't know. Well, think about that, because I don't know if that's so pushy. But the dinner itself, that I didn't see, but the dinner itself, So that's Rabbi Yaakov said, whatever you would deduct, but if you would pay, I wouldn't pay $300 for this, but I'd pay $25 for this nice meal, or maybe I'd pay $80. I don't know, maybe once I go out to a restaurant and I buy, for $80, I buy this type of dinner. So then that you shouldn't take from Meiser, but the rest of it that they're charging, you can. Rav Moshe writes, this is in a tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, Chelik Beis of Choshen Mishpat, Simon and Ches. Rav Moshe writes that he's assuming that you eat at home also like similar foods. He says if they're serving a nice meal of basar v'dagim and you don't eat anything like that at home, b'chlal, you eat macaroni every night, you know, you stick to the basics. He says lo yitzur, you would have a person like that, so then he would pay, but now he's getting a nice meal of basar in it, so he would pay d'mei basar b'zol, which is the price minus a third, the price that you would pay, not the price they're charging, the price that it would cost you to buy this a meal like this elsewhere minus a third. That's the normally when you get hanah, which you wouldn't. I wouldn't. It's not worth it for me to pay for this hanah. But lemaisa, I had to, or I did it for other reasons. I did it to mechaz of the kol, and I got the hanah. So you paid the mei basa bezal. So he says the price that you would pay for this meal minus one third. But he says, but that's not most people. Rav says, Bizmanenu, and this tshuva was written, even a number of years, obviously Rav Moshe is gone 40 years, but Bizmanenu, nobody's eating dvarim mazal, everybody's eating meat and fish anyway. So Mimela, he says, you pay for what you would pay for this meal, meaning not minus a third. In other words, if I would pay for a meat meal, like I eat meat at home anyway, now I'm getting a nicer meat meal, I would pay X, so I have to pay the full price with that, the full price that I would pay for this meal. Basically, it comes out like Rabbi Yaakov in that sense. First place I pay for this meal, and the rest, that's from my pocket, and the rest is from Meiser. So basically, then it comes out to saying, in that case, which Rav Moshe says is the normal case, then they're both saying the same thing, the rest would be Meiser. If you take an ad, if you take out an ad in the journal, even though you would dedicate it in honor of this one or memory of that one, that you could take from Isa. It's supposed to take from Isa. That's they bring from Bilyashim. It's Pasha. That's Mamish Staka you're giving, and that's a Tovas Hana. You get a Tovas Hana that you gave the money to Staka, and then they'll print a page saying that you donated the money. That's just called, it's like getting your name on the wall. That's just called Tovas Hana, and that you could take, that full amount you could take from Isa. Okay, we'll hold it here for now.
I know.